concept of Paul's calling. And I wanted to look at it a little bit deeper, a little bit more, simply because I don't know, some of you may have experienced the call of God. Some of it may be different for different people. The understanding of what God is asking of us, or at any given moment, what he requires or may want us to talk to somebody or really touch somebody in a way that allows us to show the light in us, which would be him. And so in the realms of that, when I mentioned this morning that Paul was the apostle that was called after Christ ascended, he's the only one. The rest of them were all called during his earthly ministry. And so this is a calling, that this is an understanding that we can have, and we can understand that this is part of our lives. And I think it's very important, because I think God has an unbelievable ministry plan for each of us. If not, we wouldn't still be here. I don't think God makes mistakes. I don't think God leaves things undone. If you're still here and your heart is still ticking and you're still breathing, then God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Until that day when he says, okay, your purpose in life is done. And now every time I think of that, I think of the former pastor Fry, who has now gone home to be with the Lord, my home pastor, when his three-year-old girl, little girl, died of a rare blood disease many, 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 many years ago. And his father-in-law was a very, very strong, stubborn, represented the gender well man, as some of us do the same. And he wanted nothing to do with God, but that little girl was wrapped around his finger. And when she died, he accepted Christ, because before she died, she said, Grandpa, I want to see you in heaven. And he accepted Christ. And he lived a life for her. So my former pastor, who's now gone home to be with the Lord, he said, I believe my daughter was born just so that my father-in-law would accept Christ. When he did, she was done. That's a tough pill to swallow. That's a hard thing to understand. Because we can't make sense out of ministries being done, or that their work on earth is done. But God does. God knows all that. So until then, how do we walk our normal days? How do we go through our normal days and still understand this calling that God has? So I want to go back and really pick through Paul a little bit in the beginning stages of his calling, because I think God does the same thing for you and I that he did for Paul. And when he said, as we studied this morning in Galatians, when he said it's not by man and for of man that he was called, it made a very clear statement that God is the one who does the calling. And notice many times when he writes to Timothy and he writes to Peter, or he writes to Timothy and Titus, he says he's an apostle. So all through his ministry of writing the scriptures, he claimed, I'm an apostle. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. First of all, when you understand the calling, you will revert back to it many times. And I think when Paul begins his letters to these churches, he's not only stating who he is. Again, apostle means authority, one that has chosen to share the message of God. So he had authority to teach what he was teaching, but I think it was also a reminder that this is my calling. And Paul needed to stick to that calling many times in his life, probably when he was getting beaten, probably when he went to prison, probably when he was stoned. And many times when you're asked of God to accomplish something, I guarantee you, somewhere in that journey of accomplishing it, you're going to have to go back and remind yourself, no, God asked me to do this. Because everybody around you is going to put doubt in your mind. And nothing seems to be working right. Everything's falling apart. How could this be a call of God? Maybe it was just me, and it wasn't really God having me do this. Maybe, well, and sometimes we begin to doubt. Go back to the calling. Go back to when you know God put you there. You know God set the course for you. When you do that, it allows you to get through those days when it appears that no one's listening, or appears that your calling isn't really real. So in Paul's life, go back to Acts chapter 9. We're going to pick up a couple verses there, and then we're going to go see some other verses. But in Acts chapter 9, again, we have Paul's conversion. We read a little bit of the scripture this morning, but we know that God, first of all, and this is so, I mean, like basic 101 easy, because Christ told Ananias So even all the things that Ananias did had nothing to do with the calling of Paul. God called him, and Ananias just solidified it in his life. So we know in verse 11, the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas as one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight." The first part about Paul's calling was his experience on the road to Damascus. He was definitely changed man. God came in and changed his heart, changed his desires. Obviously, he blinded him with the bright light, couldn't see. And so Ananias was going to come. One of the things about a calling is that you'll have other people come and they'll help you pursue that calling. Listen, if everybody around you says, "Are you sure?" then you better make sure you're calling. There will be people that will maybe argue. There may be people that sort of discredits the calling that you're doing or the ministry you're doing. But when other people begin to see what potential you have in the ministry, take note. Because Ananias was called. And again, back then in those days, when the prophet would come, they would lay hands as a approval of. We do the same thing in ordinations. When a young man goes through an ordination, all the guys come together, they lay their hands on him, and they pray, you know, basically showing we accept this man going into the calling of ministry. So it doesn't do anything for him other than to the people watching that he has now been approved by others that are in the ministry. So the laying on hands did nothing for Ananias. And again, he saw this vision, he saw God coming. Of course, we know 13 and 14, Ananias was a little nerved about going in. "I've heard many things that this man, how much evil he had done to thy saints in Jerusalem." And when I studied through this, I thought, isn't that so typical of us today? We see somebody has a changed life, but we go back to what they used to be. We go back to the memories of what they used to do. And sometimes we doubt them and don't even let them into ministry because of what we've heard and what we've known. One of the key points in this is you and I allowing somebody, we need to allow people to have a changed heart for God. We need to allow people into ministries or into areas of ministries. So Ananias was told by God, again, in verse 15, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel." So in Paul's calling, I'm not sure Paul knew his calling. Ananias knew his calling first. Because at this point, Paul was just waiting for him to come and remove whatever blinders, whatever that was going on with his eyes, so that he could then see and go into ministry. So there has to be some other things involved in this calling. Ananias was there to help him. And we know that as we see that in Scripture. But one of the other places that we see, because Ananias couldn't have done anything as adding to what God had already said and what God had already done. So we go a little further in the text and go to chapters 9, verse 27. Paul now goes into Jerusalem. It says, "And when Saul," verse 26, "and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." Verse 27 says, "But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Your calling will come when other people see it in your life. When other people see, and this again, this is Paul's being called into full-time ministry. But when people begin to listen to your words, they have already seen something in your life that allows them to listen. Because you and I both know that if we have somebody who's trying to share, you know, coming to church, we're trying to share the gospel message, you're trying to share things about their life and what Christ is doing in their life, and then they go live something different, people aren't going to listen. People are not going to want to hear what they have to say. So here is Paul now. We have a little bit more insight. As Paul was in Damascus, as Ananias opened his eyes up and he went and he began, Paul started preaching in verse 20. Straight away he preached Christ in the synagogues. I would have loved to have been there for that message. Because I could see Paul walking in and everybody run to the back of the room. Everybody's afraid of him. Because actually it was still Saul. What would it do to you as you run to the back of the room and then you hear him preach an unbelievable message about Christ? You see, God allows people to understand your change when they see your life and then hear your words. They didn't see Paul's change yet. Saul, at this point, his name is going to be changed here before too long. But verse 27, we have Barnabas coming in and took him and begin to speak for him. Other people around you will stand beside you. When you know that you are doing what God wants you to do, there will be other people joining you in that cause. They have said that there's a difference between a leader and a manager. There are some leaders who tend to be managers and very poor leaders because they want to micromanage everything they ask you to do. That's a manager. It's not a leader. And so when you have somebody like, again, Barnabas coming around and saying, you know, I saw him. He brought him in a way. He is seen the Lord in the way. Barnabas says, I was there when I heard him preach. I was there and I saw and I heard. He has a changed life. He has a changed heart. Other people will come in and other people will begin to see the change. So to me, we go all our life and we try to keep asking, okay, God, what is it you want me to accomplish? God, what is it you want me to do? And I really think we make it too difficult. Now again, some people are called into full-time ministry and that's a little bit of a different understanding, but every day we already know what God asks of us. God asks us to spend time with him. God asks us to represent him. And God asks us to share him. Those three things are in our everyday life that we should never question or sit back and say, I don't know what God wants for me. Those three things are there. So, you know, this Christian life is never to be lived in isolation, obviously. I see sometimes when I'm scrolling down through Facebook, some think I snoop on Facebook, but I say I'm scrolling, looking for all the pictures of my grandkids and kids and seeing what they're up to. So we're scrolling. And as we do that, I saw one thing and it had a cabin. It had the fire smoke coming out. It had a big pond and a boat. And it says, take me here, leave me here, I will be fine. And you know, some days are like that, aren't they? Some days you want to go to them places. Some days you want to go out there and oh, you'll be fine. But isolation isn't for a Christian life. Retirement isn't truly for a Christian's life. We are to be out there busy about the purpose that God's left us here on this earth. And that is, as we mentioned, those things, spending time with him, witnessing for him, or just walking the life for him and then sharing his story. Those things are what we're supposed to do. So all of us are called for that. When God moves to go into a direction or a people or a group or a person, we need to hear that. We need to follow that. And it's not an audible thing. It's a heart thing. Any of you get like a nudge or like an idea like, you know what, maybe I should go over there. Or maybe I should ask them if they're okay. Or maybe you hear something and, you know, maybe I should give to that. Maybe I should be a part of that. Don't ignore that because that's a call of God in your life. At that moment, for that reason, for that thing, that phrase that Esther was told by Mordecai, for such a time as this, happens every day in our lives. It happens all the time. So Barnabas comes along and the disciples were afraid of him. Barnabas comes and says, listen, I'm going to vouch for this guy. Other people will get on board when they see the change of life, when they see you, the ministry that God has called out and wanted to be a part of. Go to chapter 11 of Acts. There's another portion of scripture that we find, again, dealing with Barnabas. And not only there in Jerusalem there at that moment, but he also, in Acts chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26, Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. Basically, it was Paul's name has not changed yet. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. That should spark some interest in your studying. Because, first of all, why was it in Antioch? Why was it there first? And why was Paul involved in it? Why was he there? You see, God will put circumstance in your life to solidify your call. We sometimes call them the golden nuggets. Sometimes we call them that one person that you didn't even know was listening comes up to you in tears and thanks you because God used the word of God through you to break them or to heal them or to help them. And so other people will solidify this in your life, just as Barnabas is solidifying and as the others are doing the same thing. So Barnabas took him, he was mentored, and the Christians first in Antioch. A Christian is a Christ follower. First time it was ever used. Paul was involved in that, I believe, because that was his calling, that was his ministry to go unto them, the Gentiles. And God was showing him all along. God was preparing him to go out on his own. And then we know that they laid hands on him in Jerusalem before they sent him out. And again, Peter's in jail after this. And it just goes on and begins to talk about Peter a little bit and the mystery ministry. And then Paul and Barnabas basically, again, are chosen in chapter 13. They're chosen basically by the leaders of the council, or the leaders of, it's 15 is the council in Jerusalem, but those men, the leaders, the apostles, they were all there. And so in the calling that God gives, it's very interesting. You hear it, you get the nudge, you get the idea, and then you go to it, you go through it, because there is something greater that God has yet to show you. That's why you got to go back to your calling when things get heavy, when things get crazy. You go back and you know what? You know what, God, you wanted me to do this ministry, or you allowed me in this ministry. And so when everything else goes crazy, I'm going to stick to the call. I'm going to hang on to what you've given me. Hang on to the calling that you have in the life. And this is very important in Paul's life, because we can go to some scriptures, some other scriptures, and we're going to pull this together in a way that allows us to sort of understand where Paul came from. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul giving a personal, again, Timothy was his little Timothy. And it's awesome to have a little Timothy or Titus around you. So you need to get one of those. And that's simply somebody you're mentoring through some of the scriptures, mentoring through. I believe if Christ said in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew that we are to go into the world, we are go into the world and do what? Preach. We are going into the world and baptize. We are into the world and make disciples. I think it's very imperative that we all have somebody that we're mentoring. Whether it's a family member, whether it's a relative, whether it's somebody you talk to on the phone, whether it's somebody you call, have coffee with. There are people out there, and especially the younger people, they're begging for somebody to mentor them a little bit. They're begging for them to maybe a young mom wishing she had somebody that can help her through some of the ropes of raising kids, maybe helping her and doing other things in life. And the men, how to be godly men. We all should have somebody that we're mentoring, because I'm telling you, it's exciting. When you give out and you mentor someone, one, it keeps you accountable and it helps you keep your eggs in a row. And then to see the difference, just to see them grow, because that way, that strength, that truth allows your heart and life to grow stronger in your relationship with God. So that's exactly what Timothy is being experienced here. That's what Paul's telling him. And in verse 12, and I thank Christ, Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. There's another key principle there. You got to be faithful. You want a calling of God? You got to be faithful. He was not a faithful person when he was on his road to Damascus. That's what changed in Paul's life. he began to be faithful to his calling, began to be faithful to his God. Faithfulness is key, key to God using you in any situation. And again, I think there are a lot of Christians who are either questioning what God is going to do with their life, or they're put on a shelf because they're not that vessel met for the Master's use. They're not that individual that is faithfully just doing it every day, out there doing whatever they can do for God. And listen, you can survive in this world. You can go to work. You can earn your money. You can do your grocery shopping. You can go to the gas station. You can do whatever you want to do and need to do. But you can still serve God and share his message in the process. We've become so busy in the activity that we forgot about the calling to share Christ in the midst of it. And that's what God expects. That's what he wants from us. And from that pool of people, you go and do a study. The men who were to be deacons, the Acts, when they first seven were called, call out from among you godly, faithful men. They already reached that status before they could be used in that position. And I think sometimes we're missing that today. Sometimes we want the position without understanding the qualifications to get there. Very clear, Paul was thanking Christ who enabled him. Very important, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call. God will give you what you believe you don't have. Paul says the same thing, enabled me for that he counted me faithful. How faithful was Paul? Probably not any more faithful than most of us. Did Paul make mistakes? Absolutely. Did Paul make poor decisions? Absolutely. We're talking after the road to Damascus. I'm sure he did. And as I shared this morning, listen, when we wake up, we're that sinner saved by grace. Choices will say whether I'm a sinner that day or saved by grace that day. Paul made choices. We make choices. Our faithfulness, and notice how it doesn't say he was faithful. It just simply says that he counted me faithful. That allows Paul to be human like us. It allows Paul to make mistakes like we do, and yet God can still use him in such a way. I talk to people all the time that have a problem forgiving themselves enough to allow God to use them. Because they're staying with the burden. They're staying with the past. They're staying with that stuff. And so they don't let God forgive them. They don't, well, yes, God forgave me, but you know, he's not gonna use me because he can't. Really? I've never known God to be that limited. Never known God when he says you are forgiven. Guess what? You're really forgiven. And you're really clean slate, and you're really able to go out and do some service for God. Paul says he enabled me, he counted me faithful by putting me in the ministry. So not only in the beginning stages did other people see that in him, Paul now going back and now mentoring Timothy said, listen, this is all of God. God enabled me, God counted me faithful and put me into ministry. We always say that we are to forget our past, but Paul rarely forgot his past because I think his past fueled his belief and understanding in how great his God was. It says in verse 13, who was before a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know who I was. I know I have a past. But he said, by the grace of God, grace of God, he took it away. The grace in verse 14, the Lord was exceedingly abundant. Didn't Paul say in Romans that where sin abounds, grace abounds more? Where sin is there, there's more grace. Paul said, listen, I lived this. Paul's so transparent. I lived this. I know I was a sinner. I know I was a blasphemer. I know I was a persecutor. I know I did all those things. But God's grace took it all. Took it all away. One of the things we need to understand in our day today is that grace that is given, that grace that Paul received is still the same grace we get. No matter what kind of life we've lived, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been. And I use that quite often in the realms. As I shared, we are our worst enemies. we can't forgive ourselves. And at times we really beat ourselves up because, why did I do that? Or how did I get there? Or, man, why did... And we start getting ourselves and beating ourselves up. We need to understand, again, go back to the calling, but also go back to the grace of God that puts you there. That's very important as we do our everyday life. As you go through this life, as you go through this world, you encounter different people, and we're going to encounter a lot of evil in our world. We're going to encounter a lot of that stuff as we do presently. It's just going to get worse. And so, not only as we shared this morning, you got to set the boundaries, but you got to know your calling within the boundary. Because you can set all the boundaries you want and then just walk away. Well, what are we going to do about it? I'm not going to worry about it. I can't. And you walk away from it. That's why we are where we are. Because too many of God's children just walked away because it didn't affect their back pocket in the moment. And it didn't affect their family immediately. So they walked away and it began to just grow. The evilness in our world. So, know your calling and go back to it. And understand it in a way that I think God would want it to be understood, or that we need to understand it. And again, Paul says that in the... 1 Peter. One more text as we go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 1 first, because that's where we find it. Paul in verse 6 of chapter 1 says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and the glory and the appearing of our Jesus Christ." What kept Paul keeping on? What kept him moving? What kept his faith stirred up, as he told Timothy, fired up? It's this thing. He said, listen, all that we have in this earth, we are bound by time right now. And sometimes during that period of time, we are in trials. We have very difficult times, going through many difficult things. Satan is continually trying to knock us off of what God wants us to accomplish because we're called to do that. And Paul says here that the trial of your faith being much more precious than the gold. The trial of our faith is much more precious. And it's important that we pull that into perspective of every day of our life. Because when it's all said and done, he says, we might be found unto the praise and to the honor and to the glory at his appearing. See, there is going to come an end. There's going to come a day where we got to answer for all this. And the longer we live and not seeing that day, sometimes we forget about that day that's coming. We forget about that concept. And so Paul, listen, he was called by God very clearly. Other people in his life helped solidify that call. Paul knew it when he was called into ministry and when he was simply told that, as we saw in Timothy, that he thanked Christ for enabling him, counting him faithful, putting him into the ministry. He never forgot. He never forgot that calling. And you know, I think that's what's wrong with a lot of church Christians today. They've forgotten why God has them here. They have forgotten the purpose that God has for their life. And every one of us have that purpose. Every one of us spend time with him, walk like him, and share him every day. That is a high calling of all of us. And when we do that, other people will listen when they see our lives. Other people will accomplish things when they see all that in our lives. And so that's the goal, right? That's how are we... I don't understand what God is calling me to do. Yeah, you do. And from that pool of faithful people doing those three things in their life, some are called into full-time ministry. Some are called into leadership positions because they've already proven their faithfulness. They've already proven the calling in their life. They've already proven, as Barnabas saw and said, he has given his life to God. It's okay. Because he saw him. He lived with him. He walked with him. He preached with him. And he saw the changed life. He had to reach this status before he could go to the next level. Before he was called in 13 to go with Barnabas and be a missionary, Paul had already proven the life change that God gave him. And it didn't change his whole ministry, did it? His whole ministry. And again, he wasn't perfect. I guarantee he made bad choices. I guarantee him he woke up really not feeling like doing what God asked him to do. There are times, as a pastor in ministry, there are times that I'm like, ah, I got to do this. I don't have a choice in this. Why? Well, because you're the pastor. You got to do it. And there are times that I do things just simply because I am a pastor, not really because I feel it's my calling in the moment. And God just shows up. God does some great things. And when he does, it proves to me that I just need to shut up and let him do it. Just keep doing what you do. Why? Because it's a calling. You got to stay the faithful. You got to stay in tuned with God and then let him bring you into ministries. Let him, we're sitting back waiting for this big neon sign or this email from God. He's got a whole bunch, 66 books full of emails that tell us everything we need to know. But we got to be faithful with the calling that he's already given every one of us. And every one of us have that opportunity to continue and continue on for the concept of God and what he has for us. Any questions or any statements on any of that? Any, just don't want to leave you. Anybody have a calling experience they want to share? Something that you know God had opened up the opportunity? The only time to keep you, oh, good. Speak loud. Okay. Sure. And it's neat to be in the availability we have to teach the younger kids. And, you know, we all have that capability. And, you know, we're struggling with getting some teachers. We have some good faithful ones that are here, but they're few. And so, you know, and then we, you know, try to fill the nursery and this and that. And, you know, the ministries that are going on, that there are few people helping. And today, one of the young ladies who is new to the church went through and said, hey, I would love to help in your nursery some Sunday. Oh, yeah, let's go. She works in a daycare, has all her paperwork, has everything needed. I said, we will try not to abuse you. I mean, those are like golden nuggets, you know, when they see and they just want to help. And we all have the availability to help. And we need that. God's gifted many of us to do things. And it's, you know, it's sometimes, like Kim said, when, you know, I'm asked to do things that there's no way I feel qualified to do them. But I know that my God enables, he gives what you need when you need it. And you just, okay, God, I'll go, you do. And he does. We all need those ministries. We all need those areas that we're out doing. And none of us should have, just be sitting around doing nothing. We all need to be doing something, whether it's with your own kids, your grandkids, whether it's whatever. I mean, you got to be doing something on a continual basis just to be inputting some of the knowledge. Because knowing Scripture here is great. Knowing Scripture here is better. And the reason it gets from here to here is called experience. We've all lived the Scriptures. We've lived the faithfulness of God. We've lived those things. And then Kim and I were talking, and she says, you know, it seems like all, I just want to teach them the Bible and how to get in it. And I said, well, it's better that they know how to get in the Bible than just know the stories of the Bible. Same thing they said way back when, the Indians. It's better that I teach you to fish than give you a fish. Same concept. So you learn, teach them. I mean, it's great. Anyway, we need to keep doing that. Anyone else have any other testimonies? Appreciate that. Encouragement. You're all going to sign up for ministries, right? That was not a planned plug, trust me. That was kind of good, though. But it is. I mean, we need help in our downstairs. We need help with the kids. We need help in different areas. More hands make light work for everybody. So don't ever think you can't be used because of whatever, age, past, ability. When Paul told Timothy, God enabled him. That's all you need. That's it. And he's still doing the same thing. He still enables us to accomplish what we need to accomplish. Any other comments, statements? Anything we can add to that tonight? All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll close our time together tonight. God, we thank you again for just the ability you give us to understand. And Lord, just walking through a little bit of Paul's calling, we can very easily see that the same type of calling you give to all of us. Some will carry it through to a full-time level. Others, just every day, we need to be out. We need to be talking. We need to be mentoring and sharing the truth of our lives, especially with who we have here tonight. We've lived some years on this earth. We've seen your goodness. We've experienced your faithfulness. And we've also experienced your enablement when we are in situations that we just are over our heads. God, you are there and you are using and you are making it all work. And Father, I pray that encourages us to continue that purpose that you've given us. And that is to spend time with you. That is to walk like you, and that is to share your son's story every opportunity we can. God, we just give it to you. We thank you and praise you for the divine appointments we get, and we give you the results of those in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed this evening.